one of those crazy days, isn't it? Why don't I pray for us as we start? Father God, we thank you so, so much for your goodness to us. We pray this morning that you might help us understand what was just read, that we might understand all that Jesus spoke about and know what it is to be truly free. We pray this in your name. Amen. What links these three words? Shadow, footprint, and smoke. Have a think. Don't have to say your answers, just have a think. What links these three words? Shadow, footprint, and smoke. I think there's probably multiple links. The one link that I'm thinking of, though, is that they can only really be understood in relation to the existence of something else. The existence of a shadow is only possible if there is light. To speak of a shadow, it presupposes light. When you see a footprint, you know that somewhere in the world there is a foot that made it. And as the old saying goes, there's no smoke without a fire. Like these examples, actually the topic this morning, freedom, can only be understood in relation to the existence of something else. Freedom can only be talked about in relation to some form of oppression or slavery. To speak of freedom is to recognize that actually there's something you need freedom from. You only desire freedom when you know you're in chains, and only the enslaved cry out for freedom. So when Jesus, when he starts talking in the temple about freedom in John 8:32 to some Jews, he's implicitly suggested that actually there's some sort of oppressive slave master that they need freedom from. What kind of freedom is Jesus talking about? What kind of slavery is he talking about? Well, keep those two questions in mind. They will be our guides this morning. I mean, freedom, it's one of those terms that actually has all sorts of meanings and can be used in all sorts of context. There are so many arenas where actually we want freedom. Some we even deem worthy of our lives. I mean, there's political freedom, freedom from oppressive and abusive powers and leaders. There's personal freedoms, freedom to do whatever we want, to make our own decisions, to be free to be ourselves, to rule over our own lives. There's freedom from societal expectations and familial pressures. There's freedom from the monotonous and mundane routines of life. Freedom to explore and experience different things. There's freedom from the worries and anxieties of the world. There's freedom from financial pressures and all the challenges that come with poverty. There are lots of different freedoms that we might desire. We're talking about freedom this morning specifically because there was a survey done recently in the UK which asked people what they felt they were missing most in life. And one of the most popular answers, freedom. But I do wonder what freedom all those people who answered were actually referring to. I wonder whether actually each person probably had a different freedom in mind, based really on what they thought was enslaving them. Interestingly, I think Jesus probably isn't talking about freedom in any of the way that people who answered in the survey answered. I wonder whether he has a different freedom in mind. He mentions a truth that sets you free. And in verse 33, we see that people actually recoil at the mere suggestion that they're enslaved. Jesus, he's talking to Jews. They can trace their family tree all the way back to Abraham. They believe that because of their family, the family they were born into, they hold some level of privilege before God, that they are therefore free. Ironically, those who know their Old Testaments, who know their Jewish history, well, actually, you'd know that the Jews had spent most of their history enslaved by the Egyptians, by various nations when they first entered the lands, by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and now as Jesus is talking to them, the Romans. So really, with this in mind, it's unlikely that these Jews in verse 33, speaking with Jesus, understood him to be speaking of a physical slavery. They say, we've never been slaves. I don't think they're thinking physically. They'd likely recognize the physical chains that their people had worn through the ages. But really, I think they just didn't appreciate that Jesus was suggesting that there was some sort of spiritual slavery to which they were bound, some chains to which they were bound. We're God's special people, after all. They say to Jesus, how can you say you will become free? They're offended by the mere suggestion that they're not free, that they need freedom. See, only those who are aware of their slavery long for freedom. And they're not aware. So they do not long for the freedom Jesus speaks of. So Jesus starts to explain the nature of their slavery, and this will help us understand the nature of the freedom he talks about. Look with me at verse 34 if you have your Bible open. Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now sin is more than just doing something bad or breaking a rule. Sin is rebellion against God. It's choosing to go your own way in word, action, or deed. But actually, it's also a pretty cruel slave master, a power to which all humanity has been held captive throughout all history. This is the slavery that Jesus tells us we really need freedom from. And yet the thing about slavery is, and it's obvious, I know, but it's that the one who's enslaved can't really do anything to get out. They're chained down, they have shackles, they're imprisoned. Every sin committed further proves both our captivity and further enslaves us. Don Carson, a Bible commentator, he concludes from these verses that for Jesus, the ultimate bondage is not enslavement to a political or economic system, but vicious slavery to moral failure, to rebellion against the God who made us. The despotic master is not Caesar, but shameful self-centeredness. An evil worship of the enslaving devotion to created things at the expense of worship to the Creator. See, although Jesus was exposing the listeners' blindness to their own shackles, to their own enslavement to sin, this is actually not only a slave master to first century Jews, but this is the slave master of all humanity throughout all time. It's a slavery actually to which we are bound, whether we like it or not. And it is a slavery that should lead us to desire a freedom from sin that only Jesus can offer. But unfortunately, when faced with the reality of their sinfulness, their slavery, those conversing with Jesus, they didn't really want to hear anything. In verses 30 and 31, they were described as those who believed in him. But almost immediately, we see that really they're not disciples of Jesus at all. They don't really believe in him. We've seen how they recoiled at Jesus' words in verse 33. We're not slaves. Verse 37, Jesus then exposes their hearts that have no place for his word, for his teaching. He even goes on to say that they cannot hear his word because their father isn't Abraham like they claim. Now, actually, look at verse 44. They claim Abraham is their father, but verse 44, he says their father is the devil. Later, he says to them that the one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you're not from God. Ouch. I mean, he's not afraid of exposing fake faith in him. They hear his word, his teaching, his message, and yet they're unwilling to hear it. They have ears, but they refuse to listen. They have eyes, but they refuse to see. In effect, they cover their ears at the sound of his voice. It should be obvious to us that this is a foolish response. But it's actually the natural response of those enslaved by sin. Even the response of these Jews listening to Jesus is evidence of their slavery to sin. We can so easily respond to Jesus and his word, his teaching, in exactly the same way. We can so easily be offended by the idea that we need freeing from the shackles of slavery to sin. We don't like the idea, do we, of being chained and unable to bring about our own freedom. So quickly do we decide to suppress that truth that we're enslaved. But what a foolish response that is. I think we must continue instead to listen to what Jesus says. For actually, if we're so offended by his words about our slavery that we cover our ears, well, we'll miss that he's offering freedom from our spiritual bondage. Sadly, those in John 8 are so offended by the words of Jesus, they actually miss his invitation. Let's not be like them. He exposes slavery, but he also reveals where freedom is found. And yet they couldn't accept it. He's shown them their shackles. They don't want anything to do with him. Let's not fall into their mistake. It may be a common response to Jesus, but that doesn't make it any less foolish. Now, Jesus, okay, in this section, he's exposing false faith in him. But in doing so, I think he also helpfully shows us what true faith in him looks like. Look with me at verse 31. He says, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. Those who continue in his word, his teaching, those that abide in, remain in his teaching, well, they are his true disciples. You see, the mark of true faith in Jesus, saving faith, faith that frees us from our sin, the mark of a true disciple is hearing, remaining, continuing in the teaching of Jesus, even if and when it is flatly opposed in the world. The true disciple might not want to hear of the shackles, of the spiritual slavery that we're all in, but they remain in Jesus and his words because they know that what he says is true. What he says of their slavery, whether they like it or not, is true. Continuing in Jesus' teaching is actually what sets his true disciples apart from false disciples. It's what proves the genuineness of their faith in him. But did you notice in verse 32 that continuing in Jesus also proves to the true disciples of the genuineness of the teaching of Jesus that they've put their faith in? Abiding in Jesus' word doesn't just authenticate a believer's faith as genuine, but also authenticates the truth, the message of Jesus as genuine to the believer. The true disciple will know the truth. The truthfulness, the genuineness of the teaching, the word of Jesus is confirmed to them. Verse 32, they will know it. It's almost as if as you abide, remain, continue in Jesus, it's like your eyes are supernaturally opened to the truth. Where before the idea of your slavery to sin, well, before that was repulsive and you wanted to outright deny it. Well, as you abide in Jesus, you're able to see the spiritual reality that we naturally want to suppress. As you continue in Jesus, you see more and more clearly that what he says of our spiritual enslavement to the harsh slave master of sin is not just kind of accurate, but pinpoint accurate. What he says about our sin problem is the most in-depth explanation of our own hearts, motivations, and actions. And it should leave us longing for freedom from sin above and beyond our desires for any other kind of freedom. And amazingly, if what he says in verse 34 about our spiritual bondage is true, which it is, well then what he says in verse 36 about his unique and special role in bringing freedom from this very real spiritual slavery is also true. You see, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, he holds the keys to our shackles. He can set us free, truly free. Those that come to him, they recognize their spiritual state, they believe in him, abide in him and his word, his teaching, who continue and remain in it, they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Which I think really brings us full circle, doesn't it? We long for all sorts of freedoms. But the Bible says true freedom, it isn't really freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want. But it's actually freedom from what we want. Freedom from our natural, selfish, sinful inclination to reject our God. Freedom from the power and dominion of sin that enslaves us. That is true freedom. It is the true freedom we really, really need, and it is only found in Jesus the Son, who ultimately would go on from this intellectual discussion in the temple about the nature of our enslavement. He would go on from there to secure our freedom by his very own death and resurrection. You might be free in every other way, politically, socially, financially, but if you've not come to Jesus and put your trust in him as the only one who can truly set you free, well, you're still a slave to sin. And actually, the inverse is also true. I've been reading The Hiding Place at the moment. It's an autobiography of a Dutch woman called Corrie ten Boom. She was in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. In every sense, she was imprisoned and enslaved. All freedoms and liberties had been taken away from her. But she was a Christian. And as I read more and more about her experience, I'm most of the way through, you can see where I'm at. There you go. As I read this, actually, I think it's more and more undeniable that she was truly free. Free from the harshest and most cruel slavery there is. She'd been set free from sin. Even in a Nazi concentration camp, she was free. So what do you make of this? Will you recoil at verse 34, the claim that we are enslaved by a horrible and harsh slave master of sin? Will we recoil, Or will we take Jesus at his word and come to him that we might be set free? Will we let his word go in one ear and out the other, taking no effect, denying or downplaying the slavery he says that we're enslaved by? Or will we hear his word, remain in it, continue in it, and come to know this promised freedom for ourselves? What will we make of this freedom that he offers? Well, let me pray as we finish. Father God, help us to hear what Jesus says. Lord God, he talks of freedom, but in talking of freedom, he uncovers a spiritual truth that we don't really want to hear. That we're enslaved, in shackles, chained, imprisoned. Give us ears to hear that. Give us eyes to see it. And Lord God, help us to respond rightly in the only right way, which is to run to Jesus, who says, I have the keys to your shackles. I can truly set you free. And we thank you, Lord God, that Jesus then proved it, going to the cross, dying and rising again, so that all who trust in him would be free from the domain of sin, transferred from the domain of darkness into his glorious kingdom of light. Thank you so much for Jesus and the freedom he offers us, freedom from the slavery that is most harsh and most horrible. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.